Hey, everybody. Fantastic show this morning. We had Voltura, the founder of Psychedelics Anonymous, come on the show to discuss a little bit about the project, but a lot about the controversy surrounding the marketing efforts towards the Psychedelics Anonymous sister drop last week with the Magic Eden launchpad. So we dive into that, ask a bunch of questions there. And then afterwards, we talk about the current state of the NFT market, specifically Rare Apepes having the run that they're having, and some of the other NFT projects that are out there. Really great show overall. Hope you enjoy it. As usual, all of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Wednesday, August 10th. This is the NFT Morning Show. We do this show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern each and every week, where we talk about all things NFT market. We talk about the projects that are growing, the projects that are slowing, the hype cycles of NFTs and crypto, and all of the stories in the space. I'm your host, Pio, with my co-host, Nifty Nick, one of the best Bored Apes out there, EZ Eats Bodega, about to be a breakout star in the Solana vertical. And of course, King Kicks, who is always late, but in a bull run, he's always early. Some of our other badass speakers, Spencer Gordon Sand, talented fencing photographer and financial analyst, Depeche Node, about to be the host of the new podcast, Node Mode. And of course, Quad, who's a big fanny pack guy and a Moonbird supporter. We can't wait to get into today's show. We have an ultra special guest that we will be talking to a bit later on in about 10-15 minutes. And we're waiting on Captain Kicks. You know, he's going to get here too. And if you want to come on stage later in the show, make sure that you request come on stage. No self-promotion. You know the rules, but we want to always hear different people's opinions on the NFT markets. This show will be a little bit different though, because we have a special guest. All of our content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. If you spend over $200 with our code on FTX, you will get a $20 bonus airdropped into your account right there. FTX is by traders for traders, so you know it is the crypto trading platform that you want to use. As usual, there's so much activity in the NFT market. We've got the news event here with the CPI print that's causing markets to run a little bit. We're going to have a lot to talk about in today's show. But before I go any further, Nifty Nick, what's going on?
It's me, Nifty Nick, the trader of trades. We won. This morning was a win. We got it. Woo! We are the champions. I have no idea. I was just thinking this was a generic thing to play out. But
this is like the start to an exercise video with Billy Blaine.
Yeah. Get in that workout, baby. Because we just pumped it up. I went long. I sold a little bit. Might sell a little more. I just thought it was a fun trade this morning. Let's go.
Celebrate that trade, Nick.
I was going to make up a song. I don't even have one here. But we are the champions of trading. Get the Bitcoin. Get the ETH. Now I'm going down, so I don't know.
The market's dumping on this song, so that's what's going on there.
Well, typically, Nick, you are a top signal, so I can't
today say. I wasn't. I was just spot on. So you're welcome to anybody that was following me. I have one win after a series of devastating losses. It just hasn't been good.
I mean, it's been a very challenging, like between the NFT market and the crypto market, it's been insanely challenging to trade. So, you know, there's always that. You know, Signal, who is normally our weather reporter, is busy, you know, jet setting the world. Apparently, one of her flights got delayed. You know, it's a typical European vacation or holiday, as you call it, in August. So she's not here today. But EZ Eats Bodega is co-hosting with us. EZ, how's your morning going? I see a new profile picture there.
Yeah, we're doing well. Just scooped a U-Haul, got a new PFP. Life's good. Eventful morning. Tons of fun.
Very nice.
Easy. Where are you?
Yeah, he's in the throes of a cross-country move, it sounds like. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah, he's definitely.
So I'm on a moving truck. I don't know, in a tunnel somewhere.
Everybody's busy this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I guess me and Nick are the only people that show up. And of course, Ben, Spencer, Noden, Quad. No, I'm just kidding, Easy. I know that Easy has a lot going on right now.
I mean, could he not answer the question? I mean, I feel like that seems like an acceptable request. I just want to know, really, you know, what are the specifics of the current situation? But apparently we won't find that out.
Apparently not. So look, for the first time ever, unless, you know, Nifty Nick, you know, has a big objection here.
I got it. Don't worry about it. Thanks, Pia. Thanks for tossing over this way. The weather report.
Oh, Nifty Nick with the weather report. Let's go. Let's go.
Were you about to do it?
No, but I want to hear you do it now.
We need some. The problem is there's no, like, what's weather music? Like, what is that?
You can do like a storm sound effect, something like that.
Well, yeah, I don't know about, but it's not storming. It's clear skies at the moment.
Well, let us know about it, buddy.
So I'm out here on the meteorological. Why the fuck? What? I'm a meteorologist, okay? Remember that. And I'm looking at the damn radars right now. And there's some weather towers right next to me that are just getting signals of what the weather is going on. And you just got to be aware of that. I'm out here on the roof repairing one of the towers that are getting the, you know, checking the wind, checking the barometric pressure, just getting a full assessment of what the weather is. And based on Signal, who emailed me, it looks like I have a full assessment and a rundown here. So we can go through that. OpenSea, remember that company? Anybody? The volume is freaking pumping, 21 million. That's up significantly from, I don't know if you recall, only one week ago, we were at 13 million. So talk about a little bit of a bull run here. And we've been experiencing it on an NFT basis. We'll be discussing those projects in a minute. Apes at 84. Mutants at 15.86. We're going to get into why that's the case. CryptoPunks, basically at 74 ETH at the moment. Moonbirds, 14.7. Doodles, 8.8, actually slightly under it. And CloneX, 8.4. So we're seeing a continued extension of the leaders being stable away from the pack of Moonbirds, which still dealing with that CCO, post-CCO FUD, and kind of like post-individual entitlement FUD. I don't know. That's sort of the vibe that I was hearing from a lot of people. But you know, not here to throw shade. Overnight, we got Rare Pepes, Pio's favorite project. He's really heavily exposed to that. They've continued to have strong volume. We're verified on OpenSea. And last night's community space helped them break a 1.4. This is one of the main projects that have been pumping. One of the largest BaseC holders, so this was a big news story. There was an ApeCoin proposal from Magic Eden that apparently was retweeted by ApeCoin, triggering Maki Big Brother to dump his mutants in ApeCoin as he's heavily involved with another marketplace that accepts ApeCoin, and he dumped this out of frustration, including dumping mutants, which dropped down temporarily and have since bounced back. So a little bit of drama going on there in the ApeCoin ecosystem. Bored Ape Gazette reported one of the largest BaseC deals went down. Basically, last night, OXB1 sold to Leora.eth, the trippy mega mutant ape. And apparently, it wasn't officially reported, but supposedly that was for $4 million, 2,300 ETH. As I saw someone else tweet, NFTs are clearly dead. I hate that statement. I'm pretty tired of that statement. I'm going to be completely honest, but we'll take my emotion out of the weather report. The Discord was minting Moody's yesterday. They were a hyped project with the pay what you like mint. Floor dumped initially, then pumped. Zeneca bought in and floor is holding at 0.23. I'm Moody, you know? And then BTC, wow. Well, the quote in this weather report is wrong. We've seen Bitcoin and ETH both pump on the inflation report of which inflation month over month growth was zero. So that's what we're looking for. Are we at the top of inflation? Who knows? It's interesting to still celebrate, you know, 8 or 9% inflation, whatever the total numbers that we're at. But here we are, celebrating it, pumping up crypto. Bitcoin at 24K, ETH at 1,825. That's where we're sitting right now. The question that Signal asked, are we going to continue Marin's moon pattern that she mentioned yesterday? And my understanding was she was saying it's looking clear for another couple of weeks. And it seemed like she was talking about dumping in November. We're quite a ways from November. So I'm good for now. Hey, Captain Kicks showed up, the king himself.
The tardy king.
How did you enjoy my weather report?
Didn't hear it. I'm sure it sucked.
Okay. Well, we got the tardy king. Anything else in the weather report, Nick?
Well, as the chief meteorologist over here who's hired other meteorologists to work on the team, I just want to say, hey, thanks for tuning in every day to the weather report. I don't have anything else to add.
All righty. Well, only other additions to the weather report, a lot was covered there by Nick, but from the Nifty Daily Digest. So that is our newsletter. If you go to the nifty.com and sign up, that is 5 days a week written by Signal, who also writes the weather report. Only other news stories, nothing too crazy. FTX, our sponsor, actually partnered with Reddit to roll out tokenized community points. Using points, communities will be able to incentivize better content, engagement, and reward creators. So you're seeing an ongoing effort from Reddit and Alexis Ohanian, I guess, tangentially, to continue to kind of tokenize and, you know, Web3-ify everything that Reddit does and everything that he's working on. And then also MetaMask rolled out a new set approval for all feature that tells users what they're signing. It's a direct response to the recent phishing and malicious activity. It's about damn time. Nick, you have your hand raised. Was that an accident? I know you had an accident.
I got some breaking news
here. Breaking news!
Your boy's got his Adidas hoodie. Showed up in the mail. Let me tell you, I'm going to be rocking it in the... P.O. and I were walking home from dinner last night, and it was like unbearably hot. So I don't think I'm putting the hoodie on anytime soon. But here we are. I received...
It's a tracksuit, right? Not a hoodie, a tracksuit.
No, there was a tracksuit and then a hoodie. All that I've received so far is the hoodie. And it was delivered from Adidas NFT, which makes me just think they've set up a separate division completely unrelated to Adidas. And great, now I have a another hoodie. Because I don't have enough black hoodies from Bored Ape and Mutant Ape Yacht Club. Like, that's all that they sell. Black hoodies. Like, I don't understand. I can't wear them every day. But here I am with another one. So we'll see how it fits and whether or not this plays into my winter attire. A lot of people in the fashion industry are standing by to find out whether or not I will don a one of these Adidas G-Money Ape Punk's Comics and hoodies later this season. And that's what people are really looking forward to. So stay tuned for that. You may be reading about that in Vogue later this year.
Well, there you go.
Nick, I don't know if you noticed on yours, but on mine, there's a tag on it that says $70. And that kind of cracked me up because these were a lot more than $70 from people who bought
them. Oh, my God. It does. Yeah, it says $70.
Right. Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
That's absolutely hilarious. I'm going to throw to Jesse in just 1 second. But ladies and gentlemen, we should be joined today by none other than Bored Ape Yacht Club number 2745, also known as Voltura.eth, the founder of Psychedelics Anonymous.
Should we announce that once he's on stage? Because what if he just disappears?
I mean, sure, but you know, that's I was just going to prepare everybody that is coming, so stick around. But yeah, Jesse, what's on your mind? You have your hand raised.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, since we're talking about merch and you guys teased that you guys have some merch coming out yesterday, I think that was some news. I did get the first sample of your merch in the mail. The Speedos are looking great. You know, my everybody's asking why there's a white dog with a mustache on the crotch, but you know, that's the design choice of the Nifty Alpha. That's fine. But yeah, they fit great. They look great. I don't know. I think I'm bullish on this over Adidas or Adidas. So yeah.
Are you job, guys? Are you referring to our new logo, which is a dog penis? Is that what you were referring to?
I thought it was just the new Easy logo. I thought Luna had designed it, but
No. We holistically realized that for us moving forward, using a dog penis as the logo would probably be appropriate.
Well, there you go. It sounds like Jesse got access to our fictional Speedo that doesn't actually exist. But ladies and gentlemen, we have today's extremely special guest, Bored Ape Yacht Club number 2745, also known as Voltura.eth, the founder of Psychedelics Anonymous, a massive, massive project in the NFT space, and the sister project, Izu, which definitely caused quite a stir in the NFT space last week. So we're really excited to discuss it and just kind of figure out what's going on in the world of Voltura and PA. But yeah, I mean, before I go any further, Voltura, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Is this thing working? I am just going to check because I'm using my Australian SIM card in the middle of New York. So if I get slightly rugged, that's probably
it's working.
Why.
You're in New York. Hey, you should have come directly into the studio here.
Oh, you guys have a studio? I definitely should have done that. That is my fault.
The studio would be my apartment.
Okay. Well, studio sounds like a lovely place to be. I'm very upset I didn't get an invitation.
Well, you sound loud and clear. Like you just mentioned, you're in New York. So, you know, first of all, thank you for coming on the show. I mean, I wanted to kind of give you an introduction. Most people that listen to the show already are very familiar with who you are. But, you know, if I was going to ask, like, who is Voltura?
That is a very good question. And I think context is always valuable in every form. So I'll give everyone a little bit of a rundown on who I am, where I've come from, and why I'm here. So I would say, let's start from the beginning, right? We all like a little bit of an origin story in some way, shape, or form. Seven-ish years ago, I started a marketing company by myself as a young dude. From there, we sort of started building out this agency and started working with brands and collective agencies. A little bit sneaky, started working on this agency while I was working at another agency, but hey, that's a longer story. Then from there, over the last couple of years after that, we started getting a little bit bigger, maintaining some traction, getting some actual proper work. For the first couple of years, 2 years, I'd say it was an absolute slog. I think anyone listening who started their own business, especially when they were young, first is hard, you know, like not a lot of people take you seriously. It's hard to get client work. You make a million mistakes all the time. And that was my life for probably two and a half years. After that 2.5 year mark, we got into some deeper clients with some deeper pockets, bigger corporates, sort of picked up our groove and started actually to move, which is great. I've started hiring a few people and making the right moves and going in the right direction. And then fast forward probably 2 years from that, we were really at full pace. And at that point, I was sort of thinking, you've got to do some other things here. Marketing's a great tool. Everyone loves marketing, right? Like to be a marketer, it's a good thing. You've got to understand how to sell a product. Doesn't matter how good your product is. If you can't sell it, if you can't market it, if you can't package it, it's useless, right? So we started building up some other businesses, had a few stabs at some startups. A lot of them went badly. A couple of them went really well, which was great. A bunch of different industries, a lot of learnings. But then eventually, coincidentally, in 2017-ish, I got started in crypto. Now, did I buy and hold all the way to the bottom of the 2017-2018 bear market? I did. Yep, I'm guilty of that 100%. Did I learn a lot throughout the process? Yes. Yes, I sure did. But then fast forward to 2021, that's when I got into NFTs. And coincidentally, the first NFT I ever purchased was a Bored Ape Yacht Club. The first one I ever bought was a Bored Ape Yacht Club. And I think honestly, to be perfectly frank with everyone, it was purely luck. It was the first one I saw, the first sort of thing I was looking at, and I was super nervous, and I've never used a MetaMask before, and I was having a look at it, and I remember showing them to my friends, and my friends were looking at me like, what are you talking about? Like $5,000 for that? They were laughing at me, literally laughing at me. And ended up making the purchase, freaking myself out, thought I got scammed, And then I remember messaging one of the founders of the Board Ape Yacht Club and trying to figure out Discord, because that was the first time I've ever used Discord before. And I was such a noob and I had no idea what I was doing. And then fast forward a couple of months, I started to, you know, get involved in a few projects, got involved in World of Women, got involved in a bunch that have eventually, or if not, sitting at zero right now. So that's good. Good learnings. And then ultimately in sort of October, I would say, me and my creative director sat down, Adam is his name, Lewis is also my name, I'm fully doxed, so my name's Lewis Fulcher, or whatever you want to call me. And we sat down and we looked at this space and went, we have to do something here. Like, we have to. It's like it's an absolute no-brainer. We have to. Like, we've always been for trying things, you know, whether they go well or go badly, you're never going to find out unless you try. So then we tried. And our first try, you know, quote unquote, was Psychedelics Anonymous. And everyone, I think anyone who was around in 2021, sort of November, December, probably saw our tweets, our giveaways, our whitelisting, whether you loved it or you definitely hated it, which there was a lot of people that for sure did, because it was new, different, and to be frank, it worked. And then we minted in, I think, the 24th of December, 2021. And from there on, it's been history, basically. My full life has been dedicated to Web3. It's all I do. I closed down my other marketing company because I couldn't juggle both. And just been like headfirst into this space. And it's been full of learnings, definitely full of ups, definitely full of downs as well, right? Like, it's an absolute roller coaster. I think everyone can resonate with that. Doesn't matter if you're a collector, a founder, a creator. I think we can all understand this place is definitely a roller coaster at best. And we've been riding that roller coaster, trying to do the absolute best for what we've built and our ecosystem as a whole. And as a result of that, you know, we've made some waves, and here we are, you know. That's in a summary, in a nutshell, that is what has happened.
Quick question here. One, are you high on mushrooms right now? Two, how often do you take mushrooms, and how does that integrate into your project? And three, do all holders get mushrooms?
The rapid fire. One, I am not on mushrooms right now. It's way too early. Two, for absolute legal reasons, I am not disclosing my personal use of psychedelics or actively promoting the use of a non-legal current substance at the moment. And three, unfortunately, we aren't able to provide all our holders with mushrooms. However, if someone decides to properly legalize them, which I hope one day happens, which is in all honesty what we're here for, then we may be able to. So there's your answer to your rapid fire.
Very nice. So, you know, Voltura, there's a lot of conversation about the sister collection from Psychedelics Anonymous, right? And so, you know, on this show, for people that haven't listened before, if maybe they're new, you know, this show, we speak, you know, frankly and transparently about projects. You know, us having you on right now, we want to have you on to kind of dig into what's going on. This isn't a sponsored spot. We want to just kind of get the answers. For people that don't know, so last week, there's a project called Izu, which is the sister project of Psychedelics Anonymous. You elected to release it on both on Ethereum and Solana, in the sense that it was launched on Magic Eden. So that was a first of its kind type of thing. But there was, I don't know if you'd call it a marketing campaign. I'd let you describe, you know, like what exactly it is. But it really ruffled a lot of people in the space's feathers. And, you know, I think maybe they felt that there wasn't transparency, or maybe they felt that it wasn't done in the right way. I'd be curious to know, you know, what your thoughts are on how that went down, and what your perspective would be, or what your position is on it.
For sure. So, to be frank, that took me a little bit by surprise. I think the first thing to get into is context around what Izu actually is. Now, everyone who was with us in sort of November, December 2021 understands that we do things a bit differently. We're in a space where we are constantly providing innovation, or striving for innovation. That's what we're here for. In theory, all of us should be supporting different practices, because that's how we figure out what works and what doesn't work, and the boundaries of which we can push. In December 2021, we were the first collection to sell, I think, you know, in that sense, in the way that we did it, 38,380 NFTs split into four sectors at once. That's the first time we ever did that. No one else has done that. And that's something that, we obviously stand by. The second thing that we did differently when it came to 2021 was whitelisting. Whether you want to call it whitelist or allow list, that's totally fine. The whitelisting campaign that we did in 2021 was basically predicated along the idea of using people to select or giving people the opportunity to put in effort to be selected to be part of a community. This was like a mutual bonding experience that was both, for some people, I'm sure painful, but some people, I'm sure exciting. Now, people had experimented with whitelisting previously. And the reason why, if we cast the minds back to 2021, the reasons why people experimented with whitelisting was because we had gas war problems. I remember anyone who was minting anything in 2021 had a real severe issue with gas wars. I know I did. Every time I went to mint something new, I was basically competing on gas. It was like the other side drop, you know, basically every other week. So when we decided to do our project, we took the line of, we're going to whitelist everything. We're going to do 85% of the supply as a whitelist. Therefore, we achieved two things realistically. One, we have the unique ownership that's high. And two, we have the ability to avoid a gas war. Now, when it comes to Izu, there's two things that you would need to probably understand and contextually understand for it to make sense. One, the ability for us to create another project under Vultura Labs, which essentially Vultura Labs, for anyone who doesn't know, Vultura Labs is the company that owns Psychedelics Anonymous. And Psychedelics Anonymous has, I think, 8 individual pieces of that project, which people regard to as collections, and that's totally fine. The other side of Psychedelics Anonymous and Vultura Labs is the new project, which is Izu. Obviously, as you said, it was the first and will be the first project to launch on Magic Eden's launchpad. It'll be mintable in ETH and it'll be mintable in Solana as well. And when that was released, that announcement was released, we pushed a whitelist giveaway campaign strategically with the number of people throughout space at one go. Now, back in 2021 and throughout the rest of 2022, whitelisting has been the most popular form of both marketing and getting people into a whitelist format for a sale to begin. There is no other tactic that's been used that has been successful apart from whitelisting. Apart from, you know, potentially some auctions here or there, the Moonbirds auction for an example. But in terms of getting eyes onto a project and to avoid a gas war, whitelisting has been it. And that's ever since we paved that way in December 2021. So when Izu came out and that announcement came out, I had been talking to a number of people in this space that I have been friendly with over the last 6 to 9 months. And for them, I said to every single one of them over time, I said, hey, listen, we're going to drop this news. And if you're interested, do you mind dropping this giveaway, this whitelist giveaway? And some people said no, and that's totally fair enough. But the vast majority of people said, yeah, sure, no problem. Now, that discussion was simply by a direct message. It was simply a, this is the post. Do you want to post it? I can't tell you anything about it until... I think it was 12 p.m. Eastern time, because that was when the embargo on the information had lifted and that's when it went to press. And everyone who posted that giveaway said yes. They just said, yeah, sure, why not? There was no promise of compensation. There was no promise of whitelist spots for them. It was not paid in any way, shape or form. It was me asking them if they wanted to do this for us, and they said yes. Now, I think a lot of the assumptions straight away there were, this is being paid for, they are being compensated, therefore that needs to be disclosed. And in that period of time, obviously everyone started talking about that and started talking about the fact that it must be paid for and it's not disclosed. And that's when I tweeted, just to let everyone know, this is completely not compensated. It is me just asking people to post something, and they went ahead and did it. Now, the resounding question back was, well, what's in it for them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, wait, yeah. So are you going to answer that question, or you're just like you want us to?
No. I was taking a sip of water.
Oh, got it.
So the question obviously is, what's in it for them? Now, for me, the answer is really simple. Most of those giveaways get between 5,000 to 6,000 to 7,000 likes and retweets per post. That allows that person to build their following by 5,000 or 6,000 people. Now, it's obvious someone's botting all of our tweets, right? Like, it's completely obvious. There's no way that we can get 14,000 likes and retweets on a post within a couple of hours. Someone's botting them. It's not us. But that is the value exchange that they get. And it's also a favor, right? Like, if someone does something for me, I'm sure at some stage they may need some help with something, and I can help them out in some way, shape, or form. So that is the value exchange that was clear there. But no one was compensated.
So the value was the potential of sex. Sounds like there was the potential for sleeping with people.
I don't think the potential for sex was on the table. I think the potential for you know, if they needed help or strategy or thoughts or my two cents later in whatever time period, then I can give it to them. Because a lot of these people I've had conversations with over for months. And a lot of those people have come to me with business ideas or questions. And I've always given them my two cents. There's a lot of people that have been asking me about structuring, deals, equity arrangements. And I always give my two cents on how I would personally structure it. So realistically, that is what happened. And I see that that pissed a lot of people off because it probably clogged up their feed with the only thing that was happening at that time. And I recognize that. I understand that. However, at the end of the day, that is marketing. You know, that is, in principle, that is marketing a product. That's what we were doing.
It sounds like people were going to get strategy. That's what we're saying is the purpose of it, or that there was the potential. You're doing a favor for somebody. Anyways, I don't want to dwell on this particular thing. On the strategy side of things, though, I am interested. Psychedelics Anonymous is like, from last year, we have a lot of people in our Discord that are collectors of it. It's notoriously, I don't know if I'd say complex to the degree that 10KTF is now. There's a lot of variables going on there. But you had like Psychedelics Anonymous component one, component two, and like different items that were in there. And I don't know if there's burning mechanics, staking, like what all this stuff is. But I'm wondering, when it comes to complexity, how you view that strategically for a project. Is that primarily for like game dynamics? Is it for reducing supply? What's the primary motivator between adding complexity into an ecosystem? And how does that does that end up being a dragging force on future actions within a project as you try and navigate, for example, the one that you're doing right now with having a sister project on Solana? How does that play in?
Great question. So complexity by nature of the components and the different NFTs that we dropped realistically had two outcomes for us. First one was engagement. We recognized that there were products that we want to build in this ecosystem that were going to take some time, you know. And one of the biggest issues with NFT projects as a whole is that they end up taking a long period of time to get to product, right? To get to market, because you essentially compete in a space where you sell an NFT, you raise a certain amount of funds, and then you start building whatever it is you set out to build. Now, the time between raising funds and active product is very, very difficult to achieve in a small amount of time, unless the project's, you know, or the product itself is pretty crap, frankly. So when we set out in December, we knew that the products that we wanted to build over this period of time were going to be complex and they were going to take a lot of time. Therefore, the problem that we had to solve was, how do we keep people engaged? You know, how do we keep this initial group of people engaged in what we were doing? And we decided to take the route of integrating game theory. So game theory for us, we resonate or sort of compare it to like a sort of a game. It's like Monopoly, it's like chess. Our collection is broken up into several different pieces, components, psilocybin, a printing press, a Genesis piece. And depending on if you have followed the game theory throughout the period of time of which it's existed, you will then get different outcomes. You know, for a lot of the people over the last couple of months, they burned their components to create psilocybin. Psilocybin is then used in a different equation, which becomes a different outcome. So by using the multiple different pieces of our collections and combining them together as an engaging experience for people to sort of communicate on, it allows people to understand the ecosystem a little bit more, but also trade it. So usually when you go and buy a Bored Ape Yacht Club, or you go buy a Azuki or a Cool Cat or whatever else you want to buy, you essentially purchase it, use it, and then that's really it until they do something. But what we allowed our community to do, and why our community is so strong, is that we suddenly had daily, if not weekly, spaces from the community, not run by us, where people were discussing theories, what was going to happen, what you were going to need, how you were going to need it. And then that created a bond within the community around this game theory that then strengthened the bond between Psychedelics Anonymous and its holders. It also then rewards them in different ways. You know, they get free mints, they get different pieces, and all these things are worth something. You know, when we dropped component number two, there was, you know, 5,000-6,000 supply of component number two. And during the bull market, when everything was pretty healthy, the floor price of that was 0.67. That's, you know, roughly 4,500 ETH distributed out to a community in unrealized NFT gains. So there's both monetary sort of reward in that respect, but the most important part of it was, how do we engage a community from mint date to product launch? And that's the problem we were trying to solve in an innovative way.
Appreciate that answer. Last question for you. Do you trade NFTs? And simply put, what have been your best trade so far?
Great question. So since December, when we launched Psychedelics... since December, when we launched Psychedelics Anonymous, I decided publicly, and I've said this a number of times publicly, that I won't be trading NFTs while I'm running my own project. Personally, I think it's a bit of a conflict of interest. It's also, you know, I think one of the biggest issues with this space is insider trading, personally. And realistically, when you become someone that has a lot of followers and a lot of friends in this space, information comes across, you know, your table, quote unquote, and you could use that to your advantage to gain monetary gain. That's quite simple and quite frank. There's a lot of people in this space that have sort of been, quote unquote, caught out. And for me, I want to remove that risk off the table completely. So my wallet, especially the one that lives with my Bored Ape Yacht Club, if you look at that wallet, the only activity in there that's been recent has been I sold my Ape coin relatively high, which I was pretty happy with. And I also sold a World of Women to make a point around 8 ETH. But apart from that, I have not purchased or minted an NFT since December, except for when I bought a V Friends, when I was with Gary V on Spaces, and I thought that was a bit of an exception. So since December, I have not traded, minted, or made any personal NFT plays. My sole focus has been Psychedelics Anonymous, the project, and making sure that that is the thing that we are North Starring towards.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's definitely, I was going to say NFT God came on stage. Maybe we can wrap with Voltura with his question. NFT God, you have you have your hand raised. I'm assuming it's for a question for Voltura.
Yeah, it is. Voltura, first of all, thanks for the back and forth last week. I kind of called Voltura out on the marketing campaign. He was kind enough to respond, and we had a conversation about it. But I just want to kind of follow up that conversation with a question. You know,
yeah, for sure.
You used, you know, the kind of classic influencer engagement farming method to promote your project. It seems like there's a lot of really interesting things going on with the project. You know, the cross-chain capabilities, the landmark launch on Magic Eden. You know, don't you think it would have been a little bit more productive for your community long term to instead maybe use like a method like Ute is using, for instance, kind of the curated, sell the value of the community rather than straight up, hey, tag three friends, retweet, like, follow, subscribe, I might give you a whitelist. You know, don't you think long-term health of the community, it would have been better to sell the value of the project rather than just straight up kind of engagement farming with influencers?
So I think that's a great question. And there's a bit of a sort of pivotive point there where you may have a choice that your ethical standard or what you believe is right. The post specifically that went out had the headline of, this is the first ever ETH NFT launching on Magic Eden that's cross-mintable with Solana. So for me, that was the value add and that was the message that we wanted to get across. Yes, we used a method that created a lot of interest, tags three friends, likes, whatever you want to call it, to get ourselves out there. The Ute method with DGods is a very strategic method, and I think it's going to be ultimately very successful, and that makes total sense. However, there are some projects that don't have that initial attention straight away. Okay, like, you know, DGods has, a 300 soul floor? You know, that's an incredibly robust project, and it has a really, really large fan base of people. However, for Izu, we don't want to have PA people predominantly holding Izu. I don't. Like, that's not what it's for. Izu is supposed to be for a different group of people. It's different artwork. It's a different product as a whole. It's a different team that's running the product as a whole. So in order for us to make that successful, we need to tap into other audiences, which I don't have access to, which isn't my audience, and which also isn't Psychedelics Anonymous's audience. Now, we could have promoted through the means of myself and Psychedelics Anonymous and Magic Eden, for sure. However, we used other people in the space that don't have as much of a crossover. There is definitely a crossover, but not as much, in order to try and get some new eyes on, one, the concept, and two, the project. Now, in terms of the strategy itself, yes, it's to a degree engagement farming, for sure. But realistically, so is every other type of advertisement on the planet. There is an end goal, which is to get engagement. That is what advertising is. Now, whatever means you want to use to get that level of engagement is your choice. And at the current point in time, with the market as it is, especially in this market where it's not as healthy, it's a little bit volatile and a little bit unhealthy in a lot of ways, we decided to use this as a strategic point to push out, to make sure that we got our message across in the most effective way possible without doing things like paid advertising, right? Like, you know, if we're in a Web 2 world, if we were all talking about Web 2, everyone would be doing paid ads on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. That's what you would be doing. That's the norm. But at the moment, that way of promoting a project, using that, you know, quote unquote, engagement farming tactic, is the best way to get new eyes on a project as it stands. And I don't think anyone could really give me a better option unless you have one off the top of your head.
Yeah.
So that's why we went down that route.
Just other couple options. I mean, yes, they would take a little bit longer than, you know, asking everyone to tag three friends, but I mean, hosting spaces where you bring on NFT Llama and the 5, 6, 7 other influencers you had send out that post, where you have conversations with them and talk about the value and the roadmap and what you're doing different. And, you know, it would take a little bit more effort, but those influencers, their audiences would be seen in the Twitter space, right? They would see, you know, K-Money, NFT Llama in the space, and they'd come in and listen to the pitch and what the value is. And to me, that's kind of like an even exchange of value, right? Like, you talk about what the project is, and then if they find it interesting, they follow and potentially buy or whatever it is. There's other ways to do it that, you know, may take a little bit more effort. Just for me, I just see a ton of this in the space. And I just think it's a little bit healthier for communities overall to avoid these types of low touch advertising. I think it leads a lot to pumping and then eventually dumping. But I don't want to take up all the time here. The last thing I'll say is, do you mind clearing up what happened with K-Money? Right. You tweeted that, you know, there was no compensation to influencers. And then K-Money tweeted that he got whitelists for the advertisement. Do you want to kind of clear up what happened there? Because I think there's a lot of confusion in the community over that.
Yeah, for sure. So that was pretty cleared up by both me and K-Money's comments on your specific post. But to reiterate again, as I said, we messaged a bunch of people to say, hey, we're going to post this at, you know, midday on whatever day that was. Are you interested in posting it? Yes or no? Everyone came back. Some people said no. Some people said yes. I sent it to K Money and he said, sure, I'll post it. And he posted it. Now, when everyone was then talking about compensation, is this a paid ad? Is this not disclosed? Da, 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 da. That's when I then tweeted saying, no one has been promised anything. No one is being compensated with light with spots. No one is being paid for this. And unfortunately, K-Money assumed that he was going to take a spot for himself. But that was not discussed between K-Money and me. And if you wanted to see DMs, I'd be happy to show them to you. Obviously, if K-Money was comfortable. But that was something that he assumed. And then I sent his tweet to him and said, mate, like, we didn't discuss any form of this compensation that is mentioned. And he said, I apologize, I assumed. And then that's when we both agreed to probably just delete it, because at that point it was dirty already and it didn't really make any sense. And that's why both of us commented on your post, which I believe you said someone was lying. And said, no, no one is lying. There is a miscommunication because things happen and we're human. And that's why the post was removed. So I hope that clears up your thoughts.
Yeah, for sure. And I just wanted to get that out in front of the entire audience here, because I think a lot of people, you know, saw that and they were clearly contradictory statements. So I appreciate you answering that. I don't want to take up too much time here, so I'll throw it to someone else.
Last thing before we wrap, I said one more question, but I actually have one more. You have a 10-figure business on your profile and have kept that for a long time. Is that A, because you ran 10 figures worth of ads for other companies? B, because you're the founder of a Facebook-like company, you have a unicorn business that you started? Or C, it's just a made-up number?
Okay, so that is probably D, because the way that was reasoned was the marketing agency that I had, we had a lot of NASDAQ-listed clients. And at the time, before the NASDAQ crashed, they had a market cap of, I think it was 80 or 90 billion dollars in total in terms of the clients that we had, right? The second part of that was two of our advisors who are also investors in Vultura Labs, which owns Psychedelics Anonymous and Izu, both have worked on businesses of that size. And James, who's the CEO of Mawson Infrastructure Group, prior to, again, NASDAQ crash, the market cap of that was just over $1 billion. So that is why that is in there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Got it. So it's a market cap thing. Got it.
There you go. And what I mean, just for the sake of giving Solana some, you know, some shine here, we got Running Man, who's the co-host of Easy Show Solana Made Easy, and a full-time Solana trader at this point, former professional poker player. Running Man, I'm assuming you have a question for Voltura on the Solana side. Is that correct?
That's well. It's more just a general question, to be honest, Pierre. I mean, on Solana Made Easy, we've touched on Web2. Coming into Web3, really struggling, not really understanding the market. I mean, Voltura, he's obviously mentioned he's had businesses in real life, and you know, comes from Web2 business as well. I really liked what you said about keeping the community engaged in between different roadmap events. I was just wondering, having experience in both, are there any other lessons you've learned whilst you've been running Voltura Labs compared to previous Web2 business?
Heaps, mate. I think anyone who goes into from a Web2 business to a Web3 business, and let's be realistic, that's everyone, because no one has just started a Web3 business. Generally speaking, everyone has worked in Web2 at least once. There's been a multitude of lessons learned. One of the lessons we've been going through at the moment, which has been an absolute struggle, is we had a free merchandise claim where we gave free merchandise, a cap, two t-shirts, and two pairs of socks to all of our holders that claimed it. And it's been an absolute nightmare, supply-wise and logistics-wise, getting that to them in an effective time frame. And that's something that we've absolutely struggled with and absolutely fumbled. I was in LA 2 days ago handling that myself at the warehouse, because it's been atrocious and difficult to deal with. So that, as an example, is one thing that we've really struggled with. I think now for us, challenge-wise, as we grow and as we scale as a business, you know, we need to put procedures in place from an operations perspective to stop growing pains. And when we have a multitude of deadlines coming up, we need to make sure that we hit all those deadlines. Now, for every claim that we've ever had, for every NFT we've ever dropped, we've never had a technical issue. Our technical record is perfectly clean. You know, we've never had a tech issue ever. And that probably comes from the experience of the marketing side, because we had a dev agency that did a lot of development work. However, there are other deadlines and things that have been missed, absolutely. And so I think our biggest struggle from a growing pain perspective at the moment is realistically keeping up with operations at a much higher scale to what we're used to. And then additionally, you know, when you run a private enterprise, and a lot of people here have probably run a private enterprise in the past, it's something where, you know, there can be mistakes made or there can be decisions that are changed because business happens, right? You have to be adaptable. You have to be flexible. However, in this landscape, when you make a decision or you change a plan for the good of the ecosystem and the good of the project, then, you know, you've got to explain that to everyone who's part of your project, all the holders, all the people that have been here since day one. And that is a much more complicated and lengthy process than a lot of people would experience in Web 2. Because in Web 2, you can quickly pivot and move. But here, it's got to be, you know, really articulated and explained before something happens. So I think there's a few challenges that we've definitely faced. And I think anyone who's running a project, especially a project that's gotten quite large, has probably faced similar issues.
Well, there you have it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Voltura, the founder of Psychedelics Anonymous, and now the Sister Collection, that is the first project that launched on Magic Eden's launch pad. Voltura, thanks so much for joining us. How long or how much longer are you in the States for?
So we have a launch party for Izu with the Izu team and Magic Eden that is tomorrow evening. So that's for a lot of PA Genesis holders as well as the Magic Eden side. So I'll be there for that tomorrow. So I'm sure I'll see a bunch of people there. And then just for a few more days back to LA to make sure that our merchandise stuff is finished and sorted. I'm getting my hands nice and dirty on that one to make sure that essentially crosses the line. And then back home around the 15th, I believe. So it's a pretty short trip this time around.
Yeah, definitely a short trip going so far. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us. And, you know, hope you have a safe rest of your trip. And yeah, catch you next time.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, this is the NFT Morning Show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time every damn week. The show is sponsored by FTX. So sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your FTX mobile app. About to get into some of the NFT market action.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. This show is the NFT Market and Trade Talk Show. If you want to speak, request to speak, man. Request to speak.
Yo, coming from a fucking $1 trillion business manager right here, baby. Let's get into it. I have friends that work at Google, so you know. Watch out. I'm ready to build a $1 trillion business.
That's right. I'm caffeinated, man. I'm ready to go. Let's fucking party. So what a market we're in right now. We get that CPI print. We get a rip on our crypto assets, but it's not really a rip, right? I saw Andy from Fractal post post that meme that Kix loves. You know what I'm talking about? 1%. Where it's
a 1%.
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much because it's true. It's like it went up a little bit and we're all like, oh, you know, it's just like, all right, it's not that serious.
I mean, it was a good trade. I made like a whopping, if you bought one Bitcoin, you made $1,000 this morning.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like so it wasn't
you
that.
You had to buy a whole Bitcoin. That was what I had to do in order to do it. Fortunately, I had too, but I had bought literally at the we just bounced off the price that I got in at basically. So I'm like net zero on this thing. But it was pretty entertaining. At least I made a little bit off of it. So it's still fun. It's also because like, it's not like inflation is gone. We're like, it's just, it's not growing off of the, historically high levels, which is what, I don't remember the exact number. It's somewhere between 8 and 9. I 8.5. There we go. That dead in the middle. So, wow, it's only 8.5% inflation year over year. But yeah, hopefully, maybe the interest rising is helping. So we'll see.
We're going to have to see. Look, if you look at OpenSea, look at the number one project. It's what we talked about before. And we have the guy that sent it to me at 0.02 ETH on stage.
I don't want to talk about it. What's the next subject?
Regardless, I would have Fran on anytime. I used to invite Fran on the show every day, and he's just like, nah, I'm busy, because he's doing big time stuff in the sneaker world. But Fran, you're Mr. A Pepe at this point. My ninja alerts is going off left and right with you buying these things, selling these things. You made a monster sale. You sold one for 7.5 ETH. Holy shit. What do you make of what's going on with this stuff, man?
Yeah, what's good, PO? What's good, everyone? So I found this project the night that it went Freemint. It had just sold out when I found it. The floor was actually 0.01 when I started buying them. And, I know for a lot of people, they need to see like a value to determine if something's worth, adding to their collection or whatever. Right away, I looked at it and the art was just different. Digging a little bit deeper, it's actually one of the original artists for Rare Pepes who worked on this. And so my thesis was, most people are going to see this and think that, oh, it's just another ape derivative and kind of ignore it. And so that gave me an opportunity to just really dig in, already knowing a lot of the Bored Ape traits and just going for certain things that I liked. I actually ended up picking up that first night a trippy laser beam, which I sold the next day for like 0.38 or something like that. So definitely regretting that. But overall, the art is awesome. There's certain traits from the Bored Ape collection. Like for me personally, the red apes didn't really stand out that much. And in this collection, the red apes look amazing. The quality on the art is literally top tier. And so something to look forward to is they're doing this thing called Frogtober, where they're basically...
we heard about Frogtober last year, Fran. What's this Frogtober?
Yeah, so they're dropping basically the equivalent of mutant vials. In this case, they're zombies. So you'll basically be getting another NFT with completely unique artwork, and they've been kind of teasing that pretty much every day. And a lot of that looks really sick, so looking forward to that.
Hasn't every single mutant vial copycat basically been a source of the floor price of the entire project cratering? Like, I'm not sure if there's been any example outside of Yuga Labs where the increase Moonbirds I don't know technically if Moonbird since Oddities is down, so yeah, literally ever, although I wouldn't blame that on Oddities necessarily, although it is crazy to me how quickly they expanded the ecosystem. It's just been very fast. So I'm wondering, is there any example of any project other than Yuga Labs where adding supply has actually increased the value? And actually, I don't know what the floor price was of apes last year when mutants dropped, but it was probably up near where we're at this point in time. So I don't know if even for them technically at this point then that increasing the supply has positively impacted the floor price.
Yeah, I don't remember where apes were at when mutants dropped. For some reason, the 25 ETH in that range comes to mind. But
It ran up to about 60 around that time at the top.
60 and ETH was like 3K, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, Farouk just DM'd 63 ETH. So yeah, I mean, I think so. Technically, at this point, they're even down at this moment in time. There was a crash right after because essentially it's like an ex dividend that happens at that point in time. But I'm almost like, it's one thing. You strike me as someone who's like genuinely passionate about some of the like creativity stemming from some of these projects and the actual like designs and some of the execution that's being done. But the tokenomics that I've seen so far, we've been discussing it internally, and we were just like, anything that adds supply is a bad thing. So now it may be an extreme position, but that's just something that I've seen. So I'm just wondering, like, am I right? Like, what's your perspective on that in terms of that maybe this particular project of where you're like, I would buy in at this point, knowing that they're going to increase the supply as a whole.
Yeah, I think historically you're definitely 100% like on the dot. But with that said, historically, if you were to say a ape derivative, oh, just another ape derivative, you kind of assume that, you know, it wouldn't even pass 0.1 or something like that too. So really, I don't think anyone knows what the outcome is going to be. What I do know is the art looks sick. And so that's kind of what I've been looking forward to, as well as, you know, they're doing other airdrops and the potential for, I guess, some vaulted rare Pepes to be distributed. So just overall, something to, you know, look at. The project's definitely caught my eye. It's all I've been doing for the past 8 days is just trading this stuff just because it's been like so much fun. I was literally on vacation and I was just trading this stuff. I'm going to be honest, but
I'm aware you've sent it to me so many times. I'm just too much of a bonehead to be able to actually capitalize on it. And you've also sent me like other ones that have come out afterwards. My problem is like, well, first of all, I don't like to chase things when there's like a new trend and I miss the first part of the new trend, right? So this, call this a new trend or whatever you want to call it, like a low priced Pepe related thing. Were these actually like literally a free mint or was it like 0.01?
Yeah, so they actually released in March and they didn't sell out. It was 0.05 at that time. And part of the reason was the initial drop was basically in the same exact order as the Bored Apes. So people were kind of knowing what was going to be rare and what wasn't. So after months of it not selling out, they went free mint and they kind of scrambled the remainder. So some of them are exact one-to-one matches of, you know, the ape numbers, and others you can find your match with a different corresponding number, basically. And so the night when it went free, it sold out rather quickly. And that was the night where I found it. And the floor at that time was 0.01.
Yeah. And I want to hear from Ben in a sec, but like my frustration with this is just, well, it's not really a frustration. I'm just kind of like, what the hell as a rare Pepe holder. And like when we had Farouk on the YouTube show, I guess it was last week. And you know, when we were looking at his collection, I was like really shocked to see that he had bought some rare Pepes. He had Pepe Lisa. And I was just surprised to see that just because I thought that, you know, I thought that the rare Pepe thing specifically, I thought that it was unlikely that it's going to really come back. And it's because I've talked to whales. I've talked to people that are OGs in the space. And the thing is, you can always do this like historical NFT thing. But future market participants are going to have to value these things at a premium, because the actual market participants in the NFT space right now just are not. Like, what's the floor on Curio cards? Like 0.25, 0.3 ETH. So basically what we're saying is when the actual market participants, the people that stick around during a bear market are here, they're valuing Bored Apes at 80 ETH or whatever, Moonbirds at, you know, 15 Ethereum. But they're valuing Curio cards at 0.3. And then I'm looking at the sales of Emblem Vault, which is the vault for rare Pepes. And obviously this is not the only place that you can buy rare Pepes. It's one of these collections that's very fragmented because it's an OG Bitcoin collection, blah, blah, blah. But I'm looking at it right now. There were 18 sales in the whole fucking Emblem Vault collection 2 days ago. The whole collection, there's 28,100 items here on Emblem Vault. And obviously there's a bajillion rare Pepes that are not vaulted here. And the whole collection has 18 sales on it 2 days ago amid this rare Pepe bull run. So I consider that just completely illiquid. Miraculously, one of my rare Pepes sold in the past week. I was stunned. I was shocked. But it's like impossible to sell these things. And so that's why I find it hard to believe that they're going to be like a major thing in the future. And I'm a holder, right? So people would say I'm FUDding my own bags right now, as people say, right? I was talking to Giancarlo, our pal, who's a big time NFT YouTuber, and he's getting interested in them now. And I'm like, yo, like, be careful, dude, because these things are illiquid. And he's got some really good like perspective. It's like long-term perspective. He's like, there's diamond hand holders. Some of these cards have such limited supply, but I don't know. I raise an eyebrow to see whether this is going to be something long-term. Ben has his hand raised. Ben, do you have some input on rare Pepes or any of this stuff that we're talking about right now?
Yeah, dude, I actually had a question for you specifically. Seeing as like this collection is basically looks like what your profile picture is, you know, it's like you have a Pepe with a Bird Ape shirt, which is what this collection basically came out to be, even though it's a derivative. And so I'm just curious, like, from your perspective, like, what would it have taken for you to want to get in just for the fact that, like, it represents, you know, a collection of, like, what your profile picture already is?
Honestly, like, when Fran sent it to me, I looked at it on my phone. My phone's in black and white, you know what I mean? And so, like the color, literally, it's grayscale and black and white. So I just, like, looked at it for 2 seconds. I was, like, I was in the middle of, like, doing some work or something, and I just couldn't do it. When I look at it now on OpenSea, like, on my monitor, it's clear that the art is like ultra high res. So I'm not surprised that Fran, you know, quickly identified that he said that, you know, Fran, you said the art is different, right? I agree with you now that I look at it full high res on the computer. The bottom line is like, I'm just like really, really focused on everything that we have going on. And I don't want to go on and on the whole, like, I'm building blah, blah, blah thing. But like when you, we talked to Zeneca on the YouTube show yesterday, actually. It feels like longer ago, but yesterday we had a YouTube show with Zeneca and we asked him about his trading. And Zeneca said he was only a full-time NFT trader for 4 or 5 months. He was a full-time poker player for 15 years. But he was a full-time NFT trader for 4 or 5 months and said that he was starting to get exhausted. And once he started building Zen Academy, like, you can't like trade NFTs half-ass. You're just going to get fucking wrecked. If you half-ass trade NFTs, especially in a bear market when there's no like luck involved and it's actually like PvP, hardcore, like, you know, challenging environments, you're just going to get wrecked. So like, I don't like to just flush $1,500, $2,500 down the toilet. I did that with potatoes the other day, although I do think that there's potential for those to come back. But the thing is, then the market was all about potatoes, and now they're all about rare A Pepe Yacht Club and this thing that I think I saw you buy one yesterday, Ben, the Digit Daiku or whatever it is, that unholy pump that we saw yesterday. Went from 0.2 to 2.5 or something.
I got into that. I skipped the rare Pepe one just personally. I had some issues on my own with that, but I don't have to get into that. But yeah, I got into that Digi one. I already flipped it though during that pump, so I was happy to be a part of it. But yeah, it caught a lot of people by surprise.
You don't clearly understand culture, PO. It changes on a daily basis, and you need to understand that. You know, potatoes were really hip last week when I bought at the top, and now they're not as hip. But that's how culture moves. You got to understand that. So in order to operate in this space, you got to have cultural relevance. And when we talk about culture, we talk about the day-to-day in and outs. Like, this is one of the problems. When you go home, buy clothes today, may not be hip tomorrow, you know? So like each day you need to really be considering, should I wear what I'm wearing? Should I throw my entire clothing outfit that cost me, you know, that you spent on your wardrobe over $1,000, however much you spent, maybe you spent thousands because you're just a boss and you went out there and you like bought that. Next day you're going to walk around and people are just going to be saying, you're a dumb loser. Like, that's what's going to be happening. That's the same way that the NFT market operates. And so you just need, it feels like you just don't understand that that side of day trading cultural relevance. And yeah, that's just the way that this works.
I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself. Go ahead, Ben.
And we also all have come to the understanding that NFT collections start to look better the higher the floor gets, right?
Like, oh, totally. Yeah.
When you find it at a low price, you're like, it's okay. And then it goes up to 0.75. You're like, holy shit, this is a grail, isn't it? I need to buy this. I need to print it out, get someone to paint it for me.
Dude, I got leaves coming out of a pile of shit right now for the potatoes. And I'm last week I was explaining how bullish I am on this project and what sort of intelligent investment theories went into me actually making that purchase. Your boy's down 20% at this point on that investment.
So real quick, I want to throw to Node. I want to throw to a new speaker who I don't believe we've had on the show before, Hacks. I always want to hear from Node, though, so I'll throw to him in a second. The one bit of perspective, I guess I'll provide two bits of perspective on rare A Pepe Yacht Club that Fran has. Number one, when people like Fran get in on something, when someone else that I consider to be often in the right projects, but they're not like a mega active trader. So if I see that they are in on a project, a lot of times I'll be like, oh, okay, that's interesting. They added me to a group of people like on Twitter where everybody's all about the rare A Pepe. So like in general, that type of thing is interesting to me. I also had like a whale friend of mine DMing me saying, is this the next Goblins? So you got the combination of people like Fran that tend to have an eye for this stuff, but I think it's already clear considering Fran bought in at 0.01 and 0.02. So like the sort of the Fran thesis is done, right? So we're at one ETH. So the first leg from Fran is taken care of there. Then that second leg is like the person that isn't in every project, but is in the space and tends to get in on some good stuff, them getting in and adding me to that group yesterday. Okay, that could be a second leg. And then you got like the whales that are full-time traders DMing and asking what I think of the project. And if it's the next Goblin Town, that's another leg. So all those things are interesting. However, on the other side, right, I know that the Pepe trends a lot of times can be kind of weird and they can fizzle out pretty quick. And like Nick was saying, you have to understand how quickly cultural relevance can move in the space. Having said that, because this is by a legit artist and I think a legit co-founder too, and it's from one of the original rare Pepe artists. I wish the fucking rare Pepe themselves would pump. But anyway, that's my perspective. Is it's tough. The unique ownership is low. Having said that, what a ride it's been for everybody that's gotten in. Shout out to you if you've been holding this thing. Holy shit. Node, my guy, what's going on?
Yeah, I want to thank Nick for teaching me a valuable lesson last week when he called us up, right, and was like telling us to buy potatoes. And the longer the conversation went, I realized this was like a full-on conspiracy theory he had forming in his brain. He was trying to convince himself and me, and he almost got me. He almost got me. But you didn't quite get there.
If you go back to when we were discussing, I forgot about this trade I made. So we did a show, and we're discussing how Elon Musk is gonna my conclusion that we had
ApeCoin
basically, yeah, gone into a circle. Someone DM'd me. They lost a lot. I did also actually on this.
What were we buying ApeCoin at? Was it 11 bucks? Or?
Yeah, it was like 12. It was on its way down. For a temporary moment, there was a pump because Elon Musk was spotted at a club with
Guy Osiri.
With Guy Osiri. And so he's at the club. And we're like, and then he switched his Twitter banner or profile to the picture of like
all the apes that sold at Christie's, right?
Yeah, or whatever. Exactly.
Like, yeah. So, and then nobody.eth. Remember nobody.eth and our tinfoil hats?
Nobody.eth.
Nobody.eth. He tweeted days before. So nobody.eth knew something. And then he went like crazy on Twitter. He had his 15 minutes on Twitter. We gave him a little bit of shine.
And so, yeah, he went nuts. But in the process, we're like, this is clearly someone important. This may just be Elon Musk. And so we came to the conclusion that they were Elon Musk and that ApeCoin, he was going to acquire Yuga Labs. And that was the entire outcome. So I put in like $15,000 into ApeCoin. I think it's now worth $5,000. Like, I don't know if I even sold out of that trade. Like, literally, I think I just like lost a bunch of money on that trade. So if you want to know,
you did. You shouldn't think if you buy $15,000 at $12 and now it's $6.
I don't know if I'm still holding it. That's the only thing. I have no idea. But all that I do know is this is then we had done the same thing. The same conspiracy theory worked for 10KTF though, where we were like, this is clearly people. And
but people already knew with 10KTF, the news is basically known for like 5 months and then it comes out and people are like, oh my God, like Popcan had a meme in the Discord the other day that was hilarious, where it was basically like, oh, you mean the news that what? Because it was about 10KTF's connection to Other Deed. Popcan was like, oh, you mean the news that we knew 5 months ago? And like, that's how it works with 10KTF. But yeah, I mean, we had that the tinfoil hats on with 10KTF. We bought in. And then I think that we didn't hold long enough to really see the appreciation because 10KTF traded sideways for months during the bull run.
Yeah. So I mean, it's one of those things, it's hard to say, but like, to be fair, it's entertaining as we go through that process. So at a minimum, it's that. Unfortunately, that entertainment, I mean, when we started the show, I just straight up lost 30 grand. Like that was like the beginning of that show in the first month. We after the Mutant Ape Yacht Club pump, I kept 10 ETH at that time. So that was 30K in my MetaMask. And I was telling my then fiance, I'm going to trade this. I'm going to trade the hell out of this.
We're going to have $1 million, babe.
We're gonna make a fortune.
I mean,
literally just lost all of it. I don't know if I made, like, I look back at some of those things. I just, end of the year, I was just like taking losses left and right and just being like, well, that was fun. Fortunately, there's been some additional gains, but really the only gains have come from just holding on to Bored Ape Yacht Club. Literally 80% of my portfolio growth has happened with that. And then my recent Punk purchase was a smart move as well.
Yeah, I mean, we were all buying NFTs at the tail end of the bull run, just getting wrecked. Like, look, I bought the Essence, Fuck Render Essence. I was buying it like 0.6. It went up to like 0.98, right? Wappy had bought like 16 of them between 0.5 and 0.6. And I'm getting in at 0.6. I'm like, me and Wappy, we're about to crush, right? Wappy sells them at like 0.95. I'm like, nah, man, these are going to 1.5 ETH. Like, you don't understand. Like, I come from Nifty Gateway. I know Fuck Render. These are going to 1.5 ETH. Literally ended up I took a 99% loss on them. So I was like buying them for like literally, I don't know, 0.6 times $3,500 was like a good amount. I bought several and I was selling them for like hundreds of dollars. It was literally a 99% dump.
Okay, that's not technically 99%, but yeah.
It's pretty close. It's pretty it's pretty close. So look, we got Hacks on stage. You have a Mutant Ape Yacht Club. It sounds like you are the founder of Alpha Gang X. Well, we don't want you to promote that, but we do want to hear your perspective on the NFT market. And then afterwards, we will throw to Witters. What is going on, Hacks?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me. And don't worry, I'm not here to shill at all. I just like the conversations that you guys are having. And, you know, if you want me to drop a little bit of alpha, I can. You guys spoke about potatoes. You spoke about rare EPPs. And honestly, yeah guys, anytime you see like a huge pump like that and it's all over Twitter, it's being shilled everywhere, you're likely buying the top. You know, that's something I had to learn just throughout my trading experience, that, you know, if something is just everywhere and, you know, everybody is posting it on Twitter and shilling it everywhere, it might be, you know, them looking for an exit. Like, I'm looking at rare EPP floor right now just on NFT Nerds, and I see like all these whales with 20, 30, 40, they're all listed at 1 ETH, right? Like, this is the exit right now.
So first of all, Hacks, the old pro, Hacks right here, teaching me and Nick a thing or two about buying the top. Hacks, we've been buying the top since you were in diapers. So I don't want to hear about us buying the top, okay? I know how to buy the fucking top. Don't tell me how to buy the top.
We just lose money. That's the point of this show. It's literally the losing trading show. People come to hear about it and then just don't take the counter position to whatever trade I'm making.
But Hacks, in all seriousness, I'd love to know, since you know how to not buy the top, apparently, which is very interesting. You know, what are you looking at in the market? What have you bought recently? What's your play?
Oh, I paper hand the fuck out of everything, man. I actually had 20 rare EPPs. I bought them at like 0.06 and I just offloaded them all between 0.2 and 0.3. I was not expecting them to go to an ETH, but I had 20, right? When you buy in bulk, do not get greedy. Do not wait for that hopium pump. You know, just secure those 0.2 profits over and over and it eventually builds up.
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, I want Hacks to come back because the way Hacks presents this stuff, he really is like Mr. Rogers. Or, I don't know. He's like my teacher over here. And I don't know. There's something about it that works. So, Hacks, definitely feel free to come back on the show. This is hilarious. We got Witters on stage. Witters is a very talented artist. She participates in the NFT market, but she also made the painting that is behind Nick on our YouTube streams, the big 5-foot epic, you know, fine art frame Bored Ape painting. So badass. Witters, you don't request to speak every day. Usually there's a reason for it. What's going on? Why are you on stage?
Okay, y'all, hear me out. And thank you for that amazing intro, P.O. So hear me out. I feel like pet art is going to be the new meta. Not only is it dirt cheap, like Solana, but unlike Solana, you don't feel like you have to take a shower after trading. And I have moved... I have scooped and just gotten exposure to like super rare artists, and y'all, ETH Maxi's out here just throwing, you know, just money in the dumpster at this point on gas, and I pay nothing in gas on Tez. So I've been just scooping. I've got some deep pockets from Nick's painting and the Crypto Skulls mural. So
you definitely hosed Nick for that painting, right? Right, Witters? What was the markup on that one?
It was, we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, this, I've already commented on Witters' fake accent. What people don't really know is that in NFT NYC, she dined and dashed with her boyfriend. I had to pick up the check. It's true story. Chased them to the bus stop, and then they did their, they must have just been an innocent mistake. So, yeah, watch out for this one. You got to be careful with Witters. She's a real shark.
Yeah, Witters' accent. Witters really has a Long Island accent. She's got a thick-ass Long Island accent, right. And this is a put-on. Go ahead.
So, I was just going to say...
I do want to get into Tez, though. I don't know if you get... Oh, sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
Yeah, we should talk about Tez, but go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say, I had tweeted yesterday. I was like, what's the point of trading on Tezos if Ethereum is going to be proof of stake? Like, literally, so when we last year's Christie's event that they host each year, I guess, I was there and Tezos was speaking, and they were just so aggressive on the environmental impact and why Tezos is the superior blockchain from an environmental impact. Well, that's about to be completely irrelevant.
Always irrelevant.
I felt it was irrelevant, but the bottom line is it's definitively about to be irrelevant. There's some legitimacy to the statement, just in the sense of like it being inefficient computationally.
Ahead of its time.
Okay. So, we get it. You're trying to kill the environment, P.O. But in terms of Tezos, that was the main thing that they were going for. Then you had a marketplace, which essentially like, disappeared. I'm blanking on the name of it. It was before
Hen Hicknunk or whatever the fuck.
Hicknunk. Hicknunk.
People would say it. When they would say that word, they would say it as if you're just supposed to know it. They would say it as if it was the word like, you know, banana. And it's like, yeah, I know what a banana is. I don't know what Hicknunk is, you know.
So anyways, like that disappeared, it fell apart. There was another I guess it's technically still alive, but there's there's some other marketplaces that happen, and there's one primary one, which is like the serious competitor on the generative art side, the equivalent of Art Blocks on Tezos. And there's a lot of collectors that are operating there. My only thing is like, I just don't know, like if Ethereum provides a better development experience, more of the apps are going to be built there. And if gas becomes a moot point, if environmental impact becomes a moot point, I just don't know over the long run why that's important. But there are a lot of collectors there and people that have invested in a significant way. So they're now at this point sort of pumping it. Anywho.
Well, I want to hear from Node on this. The supply side. Oh, yeah. I was just going to say one on the supply side. For whatever reason, a lot of the artists really like it. So you just might be getting stuff from artists that you're not seeing on ETH. The other is, if we do a show on it, there's a lot of people that have old collections there that are then can get big. Like Tyler Hobbs has stuff on Tezos, so you can go back even if you're not going to get going forward, you might be able to catch some people who did stuff on Tezos that later blow up on ETH. How about that? Like you said, if if there's no resale market and they just die, that's fine. My problem with Witters, and we're up against time, is every time I even try to search on OBJ, whatever object, I can't find anything. I'm just so not accustomed to buying on Tez. So we should probably do a deep dive some other time.
Well, Tezos people are going to hate me, but I've bought stuff on Tez before. It's a little bit janky compared to using like a really robust blockchain like Ethereum or even Solana. Like, you know, I'll make like little tiny jokes about Solana sometimes. People get really mad. But at the end of the day, Solana feels like a fucking, you know, like a Brinks truck compared to Tezos, in my opinion. Node has a sick Tezos collection, and you can get stuff like, you know, Jesse already mentioned Tyler Hobbs. You get like Pop Wonder and stuff on Tezos for a good price. Node, what's your take on this, man? I'm really curious.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that Tezos has going for it is this community that of like, there's like this real authentic vibe, right? For artists and people that truly love collecting. They're not in it for the money and for the art. Like, that's their whole spiel. You know, I mentioned the other day something about art or whatever, and then I think it was Leafman or whatever from the Discord, you know, was like, hey, if you weren't
such— Leafs 93.
Yeah, Leafs 93. That, like, that guy was like, hey, if you weren't such an ETH maxi, You'd collect on Tezos because you'd actually be in it for the art. And I was like, dude, I've been collecting on Tezos before. Thank you for asking. But they're like really hardcore into the art. So there is that cultural component. But I totally agree. ETH makes the Tezos chain like completely irrelevant with proof of stake. So we'll see. The one last thing I wanted to share on the art side is there is an art block happening today. And I took a look at the mint, and this is one of those things where I'm like, I'm clearly not sophisticated enough to understand this art. Because if you look, go ahead and go to artblocks.io and look at that that test mint. And all it says is be disrespectful to one another on like a blue gradient background. That's like it. And that's the Artblocks curated drop that's coming up today. So I'm curious if anyone out there that has actually done research, if they could explain this one to me, that'd be very helpful. Thank you.
Well, first of all, Node, it's very clear that you don't get it because you're not sophisticated enough to appreciate fine art. So I just want to kick things off and let you know.
That's called why I'm asking, dog.
It's called Fake It Till You Make It by Maya Man, one of 700 minted. Be disrespectful to one another. Yeah, I don't know, but this is the type of thing where we all scratch our heads and then it runs to a bajillion dollars. So we'll see. We're over time, but fuck it. We're going to run a little bit long today. Running Man, you got your hand raised. What's popping?
Yeah, I mean, just going on to the Solana art scene, he's just starting it. We're just starting to see a pickup on that now. I mean, we've been basically for the last 8 months, we've been trading and flipping pixel dicks and utility collections. But I mean, we're just starting to see on exchange art now the one-on-one art scene and collections just starting to make a move up. And John Lay pretty much started it, and you know, it's just starting to gather traction now. So I mean, so obviously it's definitely worth someone keeping your eye on there for sure.
Okay, and real quick, I'm already getting the tweets. I'm already getting the tweets like Tezos is being shat on by PSO. So I'm about to get canceled by the Tezos community. And this actually did just pop into my head. The same thing happened with Rare Apepes. Like, an army of Rare Apepe people were requesting to speak on the show like yesterday and the day before. And like, look, I let Fran come on because I know Fran's going to give like an intelligent, you know, thorough breakdown and walk people through what made him ape in at 0.01 and 0.02. It's going to be good content. I don't just let randos come through when a project's hot and they have the profile picture so that they can go on and on try to pump the thing. They were tweeting at me saying I was gatekeeping. They're like, you're gatekeeping. I was like, dude, I'm not preventing like a young artist from getting their shine. I'm just trying not to let you dickheads come on stage and pump a project that you just bought into.
All right. Wow. Pio's getting emotional here. Just attacking. I think our audience just dropped by 50%
Oh, come on. We're just having fun. Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
All of you suck. You know, if you're interested in pumping your bags, well, whatever.
No.
They're just a bunch of damn losers.
Anyway, thanks for joining, everybody. This is the NFT Morning Show. We do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time.
Let's wrap it on that note, y'all suckers.
Exactly. Dude, NFTO in our Discord just said that they're a Tezos artist and their mint just failed because of me. That's a joke. Come on, guys. We're just having some fun. This is not CNN. This is a little bit of fun in the morning. Hope you guys join us next time. We're sponsored by FTX. FTX paid for this. They literally paid for us to do that little tirade. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on FTX mobile app. Shout out to all the badass guests that have been joining us, from Farouk to Zeneca to Voltura to Marin Altman to DC Investor to Maddie DCL Blogger. We are really on a roll, and we really appreciate everybody that's helping us out with this content and supporting us. Going to continue with the psychedelic theme today in honor of Voltura making a guest appearance. We will catch you guys next time. Check out Easy Show at 5 p.m. today.